Thank you so much, ladies. I appreciate that. We come to Mother's Day, and it's always a special time for us. Is my microphone turned on back there? Okay. Is the box on? There we go. Psalm 128 in your Bibles. We'll get there in a little bit. Psalm 128 in your Bibles. I had some thoughts about mothers. And just a couple things I thought that would be good for us to review about mothers. When your mother asks, do you want a piece of advice? It's a mere formality. It doesn't matter if you answer yes or no, you're going to get it anyway. Lady said, I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford. Then I'm going to move in with them. Irma Bombeck, some of you remember her. She wrote a column in paper for years. She said, when my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. When they're finished, I climb out. You like that one? No matter how old a mother is, she watches her middle-aged children for signs of improvement. If at first you don't succeed, do it like your mother told you. When I was a boy, my mother wore a mood ring. Anybody remember mood rings? You remember those? When she was in a good mood, it was blue. When she was in a bad mood, it left a red mark right about there. Couple serious thoughts. Life doesn't come with a manual. It comes with a mother. Abraham Lincoln said, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. And last, mothers paint a picture of the world that her children will use to interpret life for the rest of their lives. Mothers have a great and exalted position. I was thinking as we're coming to the Lord's Supper tonight, that on the cross, just a few hours after the Lord's Supper, Jesus Christ turned and saw his mother. And he told John, the beloved, behold thy mother. He knew he had a responsibility for his mother. And he told John, and he told his mother, behold thy son. He took the responsibility very seriously. I think I told you before that Mother's Day took on a bit of a new meaning for my wife and I a number of years ago. My father had died on Father's Day, and very suddenly. And the next year, my mother was diagnosed with cancer, her second round, and it was not going well, and she'd been in for some surgery and came home, and she was home over Mother's Day. She was not able to go to church. She was in a wheelchair. Beautiful day. She was able to go outside in her wheelchair and sit and enjoy the sunshine. But we had a church service there. We had her children and grandchildren were there, except for our middle girl, Sharon. She couldn't be there because she was great with child, and so she couldn't travel to the States. But we enjoyed a great Mother's Day with her, and just 6 days later, actually seven, early Sunday morning, the Sunday after Mother's Day, my mother went home to be with the Lord. And a few days after that, I preached her funeral. So it kind of makes Mother's Day kind of bittersweet, I guess you might say, for me. Thankful for my mother. Thankful that When we were little, I don't know if I, when I first went to Sunday school and to church, but it was either the week I got out of the hospital or the week after that. And she was faithful every week taking us as little ones. Psalm 128. We often look at Psalm 127, but Psalm 128, and I want to look at the godly mother. Psalm 128 is more or less written to fathers, but we see the mother in that. It says in verse 1, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat of the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." Let's pray as we begin. Our loving Heavenly Father, as we come to this Mother's Day, we thank you for our mothers. Thank you for the physical and the emotional and the spiritual care they've given us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be grateful to you for giving us such a wonderful gift. Help us to honor our mothers, as you've told us and commanded us to do in Scripture. Lord, we pray as we look at this portion of Scripture, we'll see responsibilities not just for mothers, but for husbands and fathers and children. Help us to understand that you set things out this way so that we would be successful, that we'd be the kind of individual that would please you and please our mothers and be a benefit to society. Bless our time now around your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This psalm, for starting in Psalm 120 through Psalm 134, you see if your Bible has titles there under the psalm, it's a song of degrees, or degrees, in other words, steps. And these were psalms that were sung on the pilgrimages that the children of Israel would make to Jerusalem, usually three times a year, to go up for the great feast days. And this was really just a chorus book, if you will, for them. As they traveled, they would sing. Many times they would travel. Sometimes it was a three-day walk from their home to Jerusalem to be there for the feast days. And they, of course, would walk in large groups sometimes, sometimes just families together, sometimes larger groups together would travel for safety. And they would sing these songs as they went. Some say as well that these songs were sung as they came to the Temple of South, the great Temple of Solomon. And there they would sing. They would go up step by step, the steps leading up to the temple. And they would sing these songs as they went step by step up to go into the temple compound itself. We see that these psalms have topics. And we just go quickly down through them. Psalm 120 and 121 deal with the perseverance and deliverance in time of trouble. 122 is the house of God. 123 looks to heaven in the time of trouble. 124 and 25 is God our helper and God our trust. 126, joy and deliverance from captivity. 127, building a godly household. 128, blessings on a godly household. 129, personal struggles. 130, hope in the depths of despair. And then 131 are some personal thoughts of David. And 132, the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle, the blessings of unity in 133, and the blessing of God in the sanctuary. So make this journey. And if we read through these psalms in one sitting, we see a journey going from times of trouble to fellowshipping with God in his house. And right in the middle are two psalms about the family. Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. In the middle of Psalm 28 in verse 3, it says, "Thy wife as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house." I wanted to this morning look at this psalm from the perspective of the wife and mother. Like many scriptures, this has one basic interpretation, but can have many applications. And I've preached this psalm before, going verse by verse and looking at it that way and looking at it from the perspective of the Father as it begins in verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth God, that walketh in his way. And if we look down through this psalm, we'll see this is addressed to fathers. But we see that this scripture as well also gives us a great deal of information about mothers and wives. Have four or five thoughts here. First, the godly wife is her habitation. Her habitation. The verse we see in verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Wife is a fruitful vine. Many of the houses in Eastern culture were not houses like we think of today. That you go into the house and you go into a foyer and then up to a living room and a dining room and a kitchen. But many of the houses were built around courtyards. And you'd go through the entrance of the house into a courtyard. And there off that courtyard would be individual rooms off of that courtyard. And here it gives us the picture of the courtyard. As you walk into the courtyard of this home, there in the courtyard, you don't see just barren stone walls. Now, if just men lived there, that's what it'd be like. You ever see a place that men live? Pictures are something you put up with thumbtacks. You know, it's just a whole different concept. But here it makes the comparison, it gives us the thought, thy wife is a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. That we walk in and we see on the walls of the house around this courtyard and twisting up the pillars and attaching to the walls, we see grapevines. We see these vines that there give something to the house that would not be there. We see the beauty and adornment of the vines. Plants are wonderful. I appreciate this plant here this morning and the ladies that took care of getting that for us. And I appreciate the beautiful flowers. Spring coming, I think, they're planning spring, I think, sometimes the end of June, I think. The last week of June is going to be spring this year. And the flowers will start to come up. Some of you already, the daffodils maybe have started to come up. But plants just add a great deal. And as you come into the courtyard, you see the beauty and the adornment of the vines. You also see the fragrance of the vines. As the flowers bloom and then as the grapes come on the vines, you sense a fragrance that's not there where the vine's not there. You come in and it attacks your senses, you see your sight. And your smell. Also the fruit. Can you imagine just going out into the courtyard of your home and there are clusters of grapes hanging on vines? Just being able to pick the grapes off the vines and eat the grapes. And the constant growth and influence. Grapevines are a kind of plant that just keeps growing and growing and growing unless they're constantly cut back. Those that care for vineyards, every year after the plant goes dormant, we'll go in and cut that back almost brutally to make the vine produce more grapes and less foliage. But here we find the grapes are growing and adorning and beautifying. She's fruitful and her position is by the sides of the house. All see her as they enter the courtyard. She's able to view and influence all the areas of her home. Her sphere of influence. You know, you can tell a lot about a wife and a mother when you walk into their home. How did she adorn her home? What's on the walls of her home? What's laying around to read in her home? Mother sets the tone for the home. There's an old saying, people kind of jest, if mother's not happy, nobody's happy. But that's, you know, that's, you know, someone said that in the home that the husband is like God the Father, the mother is like the Holy Spirit in the home. That calming influence. It's amazing the words we pick up and use. We use the word working mother. Are you a working mother? That's kind of a redundant term, isn't it? A working mother. Because if you're a mother, you're working. The only question is the location of your work. It's like saying, are you a born-again Christian? It's, you know, if you're born again, you're a Christian. If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. There's no such thing as Christians who are not born again. If you read the Bible says, marvel not this end, you must be born again. A born again Christian. The old saying, man may work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Just reminded this last week as I was down in Marystown with a new baby, and about 10:30, 11 o'clock, I'd go to bed and I wouldn't be aroused around until the next morning. But do you know what? The ladies of the house, they're, as soon as the baby squawks at night, then something has to be done to the baby. Got to feed the baby. Got to change the baby. They're up and the baby won't go to sleep and the baby needs gripe water. I don't know who have came up with that name, gripe water. I don't know what that, you know, I don't even want to know what's in it. Her habitation. The godly woman's a fruitful vine by the sides of her house. And the second thing we see is her husband. In that first verse, we see two character traits. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. Responsibilities for us as husbands. Two great thoughts: to fear God and walk in his ways. To fear God and walk straight. How do we know how to walk straight? Psalm 119:105, that word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Walk in his ways. Christ said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So two character traits of her husband, but then we see that three marks of her husband in verse 2. It says, for thou shalt eat of the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Three marks, productive labor. God promises to the godly man, the man who fears God and walks in his ways, that his labor will be productive. I don't think there's anything more frustrating to a man is to be working on a project or trying to do a job and he's not able to do it. He doesn't have the skill to do it. If things are falling apart, the product, the materials aren't working. And it's just a frustration because labor is not productive. Productive labor. A happier, blessed part of life. Happy shalt thou be. You know, happiness is a result of happenings. But blessedness is a result of God. We can be blessed even if we're not happy. But God says that the her husband lives a happier, blessed wife life, and it shall be well with thee. Good, pleasant, agreeable is the result. So we see her habitation. She's the fruitful vine besides of her house. Her husband fears God and walks in his ways. And we see the acknowledgement there. Look at verse 4. This is what originally attracted my attention to this psalm. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. It's kind of an exclamation. It's kind of set aside. We see instruction in the first couple of verses and in the last two verses. But we see kind of set it right in the middle in verse 4. Behold. You see, behold in the Bible, it's the stop and look at this. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. We see that her husband is a man that God blesses because he fears the Lord. We see as well in this psalm her heritage. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Thy children like olive plants. Now, when I first read this, I got this picture in my mind like you have right now. A dining room table. Chairs around the table. Pots of plants sitting in the chairs. And that's where our mind goes because of our Western culture, but thy children like olive plants round about. The olive tree is an interesting tree. I've never seen one. Some of you have. But the same olive tree doesn't reproduce necessarily from the pits of the olives. But the roots extend themselves out. As they extend themselves out and the tree matures, then shoots come up from the roots of the tree, kind of like some of our softwood trees here. The popple trees do this as well, I believe. And the shoots come up from the roots around the tree. And as they grow and as they mature, they're vitally connected to the tree itself. They get their nourishment from the tree until they establish themselves and establish their own root system when they're 12 or 14 years old. But they're always there in the shelter of the tree. They're always there in the place of protection, the place of guidance in the tree. Your children. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. They're near her to be protected and supervised. They're connected to be nourished. And they're maturing to become fruitful themselves. Her heritage. Mothers watch their children. Mothers never stop watching their children. Children like olive plants round about thy table. Her heritage are her children. And then our fourth thought is her honor. Verse 5 and 6 says, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Her honor. How is she honored? She's honored, first of all, by blessings out of Zion. Speaks of spiritual blessings. Mount Zion, the Temple Mount. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and a remnant whom the Lord shall call. Spiritual blessings. How is she honored? She's honored with spiritual blessings out of Zion. We see as well, it speaks of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the society or the government under which she lives. And then we see, thou shalt see thy children's children. Grandchildren. Again, this last week, that was brought to the fore of my mind again. You see this little one. You know, the Lord's allowed me to live 62 years, and I probably have got another good 20. Maybe 30. Maybe I'll be 102. I think that's a good age, 102. But by all averages, I'm not going to live to see this little one become 30 years of age. Probably won't happen. But his parents, his grandparents, can influence him in these early years so that we not be not need to be concerned when he reaches that 30 years of age, where he'll be at and what he'll be doing. I shall see thy children's children, generational blessings, and peace upon Israel. Notice the progression. Begins at the Temple Mount. Bless thee out of Zion. Goes to Jerusalem, to the generations to come, the nation as a whole. Why? Because of faithful mothers and faithful parents. See, God designed families. The first thing he designed after he made man and woman. The two shall become one flesh. God said, that's how it works. That's how it works best. And God has called mothers to have a vital, consistent, loving oversight over children. And we have to understand that it does not end when we become of age, which is the age of majority. Here in Newfoundland, I think the age of majority is 19. You can vote when you're 18. That doesn't mean at 18 or 19 years of age, we can say, I don't need to listen to my mother and father anymore. I don't need to do what I'm told anymore. It says, you know, the scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It doesn't say honor them until you reach the age of majority. It doesn't say honor them as long as you live within arm's reach of them. But all of our lives, we are to honor our parents. It's the first commandment with a promise. The godly woman here in Psalm 128. A vital place in the home. Fruitful vine by the side of the house. A husband who's serving God and moving forward, fearing God and walking in his ways. Children like olive plants round about his table. Children that are protected and directed and grow and nourish and become independent eventually, but still within the scope of their parents. And then God honors her. And we've set aside this day that we should honor our mothers. I trust that you will. I trust if your mother is still alive that you will honor her by calling her or talking to her today if she's nearby. Thanking her for all that she's invested in your life. We cannot begin to count the hours and the struggles and the tears. I'll tell you what, some of the things I put my poor mother through. But you know what? She was always there for me. Always. So on Mother's Day, two thoughts really, one for all of us to honor our mothers today. The second for mothers in particular, to be that fruitful vine by the size of your house, to give to your home that fragrance, that adornment, that fruit that only you can give. Mother's Day means different things to different people. It means different things as we age and our mothers age and we grow a little older. And the greatest gift you can give your mother is giving her the security that she knows that you're saved, that you're on your way to heaven. I've been around long enough to see some tragedies of mothers who lost children in their teens and early adulthood, and they didn't know where they'd spend eternity. It grieved a mother's heart. So if you're here and you're not saved, the greatest gift you can give your mother on this Mother's Day is this day finally surrender and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Mothers, be that adornment, be that Holy Spirit, if you will, in your home. That calming, sure influence that's always there. The rest of us, honor our parents, honor our mother. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Their heads bowed and eyes closed.